Welcome everyone live from St Albans Secondary College in Melbourne, Australia. You're listening to St Albans live on Live FM. My name is Lucy and my co-hosts are today are Sunshine, Sam Sam and Tina, and our special guest today is Felicity. She is a police officer from Western Melbourne.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Today our first question will be, why did you become a police officer?
That's a good question. So I became a police officer, in all honesty, because my mum and dad were like, you're either going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a cop. And I don't really like blood, so I couldn't be a doctor. That was thrown out. Not a good liar, so I couldn't be a lawyer. And a police officer was pretty much just the next best thing. But I've always been passionate about helping people, passionate about get the younger generation and youth. So that's pretty much what inspired me to be a police officer. That, and it's just, it's more of a career than it is a job. Every day is different. You get different scenarios every day. You get to meet different people. And I like to think of myself as a people person. So, yeah, I thought I had a lot of strengths that would come out really well in the field of policing. And I get a nice looking uniform, half price Maccas. No, I'm kidding.
That's amazing. Don't put that in
there. But, yeah, that's pretty much why.
What made you want to be a police officer? Like a main reason?
A main reason? I guess because I feel like it's one of those careers where you can really make a difference in the lives of other people. I didn't join it for like any sort of power trip or anything like that, which sometimes you see on social media, like in America and on the news, a lot of, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of sort of bad coppers out there. But I felt like because I have sort of different life experiences, like being raised as a Pacific Islander, I have different experiences to, you know, your average Joe that's been raised in Australia. So I thought, just my strengths and being able to communicate really effectively, and I'm pretty passionate and caring about sort of people in general. So yeah, that would be the main reason, just truly my heart and how passionate I am towards the cause.
How does being Samoan help you in your police work?
It's been pretty helpful. I speak fluent Samoan, thanks to my mum and dad. So there's been a lot of jobs, especially I've worked in the Brimbank area, which is the demographic is, you know, high percentage in relation to Pacific Islanders and Samoans. And then I've also worked out in Werribee for the first 2 years. And there's been a lot of jobs where I've gone out and, you know, they only speak Samoan. So I've had to sort of translate. And I feel like dealing with a lot of young kids, like of the younger generation, they see me and it's something that they can sort of relate to, because it's not every day that you see Islander cops out and about. There's only like probably three or four of us in our patch. So I feel like that's helped in terms of breaking down language barriers and breaking down the communication and trust barriers. I think it's really helped. Yeah.
Next. So what do you do to make friends with kids and teens in that area?
Making friends with kids and teens isn't really hard for me, because I like to talk a lot and crack jokes. So kids really warm up to me really easily. But I think being able to come down to their level in terms of age, it's helpful for them to kind of say, oh, yeah, this cop's talking to me like a normal person and not a robot. And just being able to communicate really well and just to be myself, really. Yeah. It's a good question.
What's hard about working with young people and how do you deal with it?
I guess because young people at that age, they're real sponges and they get influenced really easily by what is going on at the time and what's cool at the time and what's cool on TikTok and social media. And I find when we deal with young kids in big groups, they try to act really cool and they can be a real pain to deal with and to talk with, and because cops aren't cool and snitching isn't cool, and that's a bit of a barrier between police and young people, and I think social media has a big role to play in that. In that, you know, on the socials there's a lot of like bad portrayals of police. So sometimes when we deal with young people, they don't trust us and they don't open up to us. And, you know, yeah.
Can you tell us about a time you really helped someone young?
There's been a few times. There's a lot of instances of family violence. So I worked in the Family Violence Investigation Unit for about 6 months last year, and they deal with serious cases of family violence where they investigate a lot of things. And there was a couple of times where I've had to help young kids in terms of like school transitioning and communicating between them and external services like the Orange Door to be able to get them to trust these services pretty much, and for them to trust police so that they know, you know, when mum and dad are fighting or when something is going on, it's okay to call 000, it's okay to call police, it's okay, and you know, you're in a safe space. So I've had to do that a few times when I was at Family Violence. Yeah, some other bigger jobs that we'll talk about after.
How do you make sure you're being fair and understanding everyone's different backgrounds?
Yeah, I think cultural awareness is really important, and like age awareness and just being really aware of language barriers and communication barriers and barriers where people are a lot younger or people have learning difficulties or learning disabilities, people from cultural and linguistic diversity sort of communities that, you know, can't speak English as well or don't feel safe because there's that history between themselves, like with our indigenous community, like being really self-aware that not everyone has been raised to sort of like police and be comfortable with police, being really aware of those situations and approaching it really sensitively, I think is important.
So what's your advice for us on how to get along with police and how about in our community?
Yeah, that's a good question. How to get along with police. I think being educated first and just knowing that it is a safe space before approaching police and to just not be so influenced by what you see on social media, as hard as it can be, because a lot of times, like sometimes it might be true, but just being yourself and always telling the truth, I think that's important in approaching police. And what other tips? Obviously, like, you guys go to school, so you would have like your school counselors, you'd have people that you look up to. If you don't feel comfortable, you know, reporting something directly to police, you always have your teachers and you always have like other people in the community, not even your teachers. I don't know if you guys have like, do you guys have school counselors or yeah, so if you're not comfortable with reporting anything or dealing with police directly, always remember that there's other support networks in place that you guys can talk to that might be a bit comfortable and, you know, a bit better for your situation. That's a hard question.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to St Albans live on Live FM, live from St Albans Secondary College in Melbourne, Australia. My name is Lucy. This is Sunshine, Sam, Tina, and our special guest, Felicity. Am I saying
Felicity?
Right? Yeah. And she is an amazing police officer from Melbourne, Western Melbourne.
Yeah.
And our next question will be, what do you do to make sure kids and teens feel safe around you?
I guess taking up these sorts of opportunities where we're able to come out and really speak to you guys and get on a personal level to make you guys feel safe. And from an operational perspective, I've worked in this area, St. Albans, since 2018. So this will be my seventh year. And we've always made it a priority to like actively patrol all our trouble areas. Like when school's finished, you know, there's e-tasking on there for us to always patrol the station and water gardens and Errington Reserve, like all our hotspots, in order to make everyone feel safe, because people shouldn't have to be scared to walk to the station and, you know, be scared that they're going to get robbed at knife point. So making sure there's always that policing presence. I personally, I know there's other units that are more delegated to dealing with the schools, like our proactive policing unit. I don't know if you guys have had dealings with them, our PPU. I think they've come out a few times and had barbecues at like Errington. But yeah, police in general, I think those are some of the ways that we would try and sort of liaise with you guys and the schools to make you all feel safe and that you trust us and that it's a safe space.
Is there something many people think about police work that isn't true?
I guess what you see in the movies, like, isn't really what our life is. Like, it's not all just like gung-ho running out and arresting people, and it's not all fun and games. There's also, you know, the side of it where there's a lot of mental health struggles, being away from your families, doing a lot of overtime, going to certain jobs. Like, over the years, I've been to a lot of sort of, how do I word this? I've been to a lot of jobs that are really confronting in terms of like what I'm presented with, like dealing with death, dealing with injury, having to see certain things that you have to sleep with at night. So I don't think that's really portrayed a lot, like the mental health struggles that police officers experience as a part of our job. And I think Victoria Police as a whole do pretty good in dealing with like the struggles of mental health. But yeah, I think that would be the main thing. Like, it's not just having fun and getting half price Maccas and, you know, free stuff and free coffee and donuts. There's a lot of it that's actually, it's hard on our mental health.
How has your job changed you or made you think differently?
How has the job changed me? I think at first I got really mean. I got a lot meaner than I was when I initially joined the force, because you just had to be really tough to be in this. Like, have you guys grown up in this area?
No.
Yeah. Or like from around here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So dealing with people from the demographic around here, you've got to be really tough. You've got to have like a tough skin.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's made me, like, that's built my character a lot when I deal with people. I feel like I'm not as, the kids are all shy as he's taking photos. But then at the same time, working in different units, I feel like I'm a lot more sympathetic, like having dealt with some serious family violence and being exposed to how sad people's situations are, including kids. I feel like I've at the same time mellowed out and I'm really sympathetic now, as opposed to being mean in the beginning. So, yeah.
As a Samoan police officer, do you interpret most Samoan Islanders or some Islanders in some cases?
Oh, like language?
Yeah.
Like interpret? Yeah. Area. Yes. Yes, I do. In Victoria Police, I should actually be getting paid for it, but I don't get paid for it because I'm too lazy to do the course. But I have always have a lot of people in different, like some detectives in the sex offences unit and detectives in the homicide squad. They always reach out and they're always asking for me to interpret like whatever piece of evidence they have. And even being out and about on the road, a lot of times I have had to be a bit of a translator, which is cool. I like it. It's good because we need that. Like, it builds that relationship between us and people of Samoan background. Yeah.
Do you have a special message for us listening about how we can all get along better?
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know if it'd be special, but, like, I guess the message I would have is just to be caring and sympathetic and always remember that everyone has a different life experience to the person next to them, and the importance that not everyone seems Like, people can come to school and look all happy and appear to be, you know, living a good life. But everyone's home lives are very different. So just remembering when you're dealing with people, like your guys at school, when you're dealing with each other, to check in on one another, and the importance of your friendships and the importance of your relationships between yourselves and your teachers and yourselves and, like, your counsellors, to always reach out, and that it's always okay to ask for help, and it's always okay to let someone know that you're struggling, or if anything's happening at home, it's always okay to talk, and it's important to talk, and to have each other's backs all the time. That would be my piece of advice.
That's all we have time for today. Thank you to our guest, Felicity. It's been a great pleasure talking to you today, live from St. Albans Secondary College in Melbourne, Australia. You have been listening to St. Albans Live on Live FM. My name is Lucy, and my co-hosts today are Sunshine, Sam Sam, and Tina. Thank you all for joining us today. We hope you have found the information today useful. Until next time, have a great day.